Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
Goes wild with delirious joy. They have joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed, I am your host, the one, the only Mark Unger. Joining me, as always, the very lovely and charming Diane Brierley, and of course, the incomparable Philip James Unger. Pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during the production of this show is the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, engineer extraordinaire and part-time serial killer. Because his name's Timothy Robert Ray. Anyway, this is a show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at ask@markgunger.com. Here's how the show works. You can send us a question about anything about relationships. Actually, we answer anything about anything because we're very opinionated. And you remain totally anonymous. You, the writer, totally anonymous. That's why we don't even have phone calls. We don't want your emotions. We just want the facts. Give us the facts, Jack. So send us your question if you'd like to know what we think. That's all. If you don't want to know what we think, who cares? And it's just what we think. If you don't like what we think, who cares? Anyway, send it to us. You stay anonymous. We are brutally honest. Some would say more brutal than honest, but it is what it is. Okay? If we like what you have to say, we will celebrate you. We will sing your praises. Like that? All right. Mm-hmm. If we don't like what you say, we will castigate you in one of three ways. One, we will stick your head in the toilet and give you a swirly. Hopefully the water spinning on your face will snap you out of your delusions. If we think you're really crazy, we'll give you the goat button. And nobody knows why. It's the goat. And if you're blabbering on too much, the chicken. You get all three, you get the trifecta. You are officially crazier than a squirrel.
In some cultures, I think giving a goat is probably a sign of goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
Some women, you know, we could probably sell Diane.
How many goats, boys?
Like, she's at least a three-goater.
Yeah.
At least three.
Two and a half, maybe.
Which half?
Which half is the real question? All right, let us begin today's insanity.
There's so many thoughts that went through my head, but
I know
we got to
behave ourselves. People think the show is out of control. We behave ourselves. Yeah. You have no idea, people. Yeah. This is the calm version of us. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, new survey from the National Association of Evangelicals released about premarital sex. Apparently, 77% of what they term millennial evangelicals, that's the age 18 through 29 people, disagree. They word this really funny, but they disagree with the statement, having sex outside marriage is morally acceptable for an unmarried person.
Well, that's encouraging.
So they disagree with that.
So most of the young people think you should not be having
right.
sex.
But 44% of them said that they have had sex. So what they say and what they do are not matching up.
Well, at least we're saying the
right things. We're saying the right things. We're thinking the right things.
So
doesn't that come for something?
We're so full of caca.
But of the people that—
Three quarters said you shouldn't do it, and half said, well, I did.
Well, yeah, close to all half. Right. Although of the ones that did have sex, 70% said they regretted it.
Oh, bless their darling hearts. Mm-hmm. All right.
And the survey also found 11%
By the way, very few people do this and feel good about it. You know, everybody argues
true.
Like you have to do it, and it's normal, and it's hell. People who do this don't feel good about doing it. You watch these teen shows, you know, it's all about losing your virginity and what a great thing it is when they finally lose their virginity. Yay! People don't feel good about this. All right.
11% of the unmarried respondents were currently cohabiting with their romantic partner.
Of evangelical Christians. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All
but
right.
they did so add the tagline. Yeah, go ahead.
A good 11% of evangelicals are totally full of it then. Yeah. Okay.
They add the tagline at the bottom, the gap between the two, the 77% that say it's not okay and the 44% doing it is largely due to the different definitions of evangelical. I guess the people who say they're Christian, well, we talk about that all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody says they're Christian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
We have been enlightened.
At least lots of them are saying it, even if they're not doing it.
Let's see what these people are actually saying about their marriages when we return with our emails right after this.
Sign up for Mark's newsletter for your chance to win a Kindle Fire. Visit laughyourway.com.
We should have our own little theme song for this. For this break. This break is being brought to you by my fabulous singing and Audible.com, the leading provider of audio books in the world. Over 100,000 titles, nonfiction, fiction, crazy, non-crazy, and various other ones, I'm sure. I'm sure there's really terrible stuff out there, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
But there's a lot of good stuff out there. If you are thinking, man, I should really catch up on my book reading, or this book I should have read, and this book I should have read, and my business, I'd prosper more if I would listen and read about this stuff, and you don't have time, fret thou not, be thou calm, steady thy nerves and thy aspirations, because we have an answer for you. All you got to do is listen. Just listen. Go to audiblepodcast.com/Gungor, G-U-N-G-O-R, and you can download any of their books absolutely free of charge. You'll also get a 30-day free trial membership because I am such a powerful, wonderful man. I have made this possible for you. So, hey, be smarter tomorrow than you are today. I know a lot of people don't have time to read, but you do have time to listen. Stuck in cars, walking, all the different stuff that you got to do, or listening with earbuds at staff meetings when you don't want to listen to your boss. Like half my staff.
What?
So go to audiblepodcast.com/Gungor. Do it today.
Too many questions.
Coming to the show. We're getting too many questions. We can't answer them all. Actually, we do try to work our way through them best we can. If you do have your questions, send them to ask at markgungor.com. What questions do you have for us today?
First question of the day. It's from a mom. She says, our son has been unfaithful in his marriage and has stopped attending church, Bible study, and anything to do with religion, and his wife is crushed. She does not want to give up and wants to desperately save her marriage. She's still attending church, Bible study, all of that. The mom wants to know, is there anything I can do to help them? I pray. I love them. I'm there for them. My son has not contacted me, and this has been a month now, since his infidelity surfaced after a 3-year affair. His wife is in contact with me. They have 2 children, 4 and 10, and it is heartbreaking. Please help.
Well, you're doing the right thing in praying, but how are you praying? Sometimes you got to pray very tough. You know what Paul the Apostle did? He wrote to the Corinthian church, talking about this guy who was being sexually immoral. He said, what you need to do is when you get together, turn him over to Satan. That's a pretty strong prayer.
Yeah.
Turn him over so that Satan will just knock the snot out of him and bring him to repentance. He said that in 1 Corinthians. By 2 Corinthians, the guy had repented. So sometimes you need to just pray God open up a can of butt kick on somebody. And that's what I would do if I were you. My son's off the deep end. I'm praying God just smack the snot out of him. Or my daughter or anybody else. I mean, that's what you should do. You should really not just, oh, God, soften his heart. I'm serious. I mean, if it means a car wreck, where half the bones in his body are broken. Whatever it takes. And you need to pray that with intensity and intentionality. No, I don't want anything bad to happen. Well, that's your problem. You don't want anything bad to happen. See, a lot of guys, they don't respond until they hit bottom.
Right.
You need to send them on an accelerated elevator.
Say that again?
An accelerated elevator trip to the bottom.
Yes.
Okay? You can sit and play, and a lot of people actually interfere in the wrong way, trying to help them and encourage them and build them up and try and protect them from any bad things and give them money. So, and they're not going to repent. You need to pray that this guy will have a one-way, not a one-way, you want a round trip, but a quick one-way straight to hell. Send him straight to hell. Actually, you could send him straight to hell, but with a return ticket.
Yeah.
That's what you want
to
do.
Just spend a little time in hell.
Don't send him permanent to hell, just a one-time quick trip to hell in his life, and I mean that sincerely, people. You've got loved ones who are doing the wrong thing, especially if they know better.
Yeah. Well, she says he doesn't seem to think he's done anything wrong.
Of course he doesn't.
So he needs a wake-up call.
It's like the prodigal child, okay? When he had all the money and he was partying with all his friends, was he willing to repent?
No.
No, why?
Life was good. Some
of the worst things you can do is pray for people that everything will go well for them, especially if they're doing the wrong things. When things go well, see, what happens to a man? See, again, we've talked this so many times, like a broken record. What men respond to are not words, but results, but consequences. Mm-hmm. Bottom line. Now, some men respond to words, but overwhelmingly, it's consequences. That's why oftentimes guys got to hit bottom before they turn to God. How many testimonies do you have of that? Somebody has some kind of moment in their life, jerks the snot out of them, where all of a sudden they get serious. Whoa, I could have been killed. Or now they're getting serious. Mm-hmm. Just words in and of themselves. I know women love words. Blah, blah, blah. What can I say? What can I say? You can't say anything. What you need to pray is some consequences on the boy. A good old trip straight to hell. In an accelerated elevator, but with a return trip ticket. Because the guy in the story of the prodigal son, it's not until he loses everything, all his friends have abandoned him, and now he's feeding pigs, and he's hungrier than the pigs.
He's rooting with the pigs.
And he wants, he's so hungry, he wants to eat the slop that the pigs are eating.
Yeah.
That's when the Bible said he came to himself and did the right thing. As long as your son is doing well, has the money he needs, has the attention he needs, has everything he needs, he'll keep doing the wrong thing. In fact, what happens a lot of times when guys prosper in doing wrong, they think that is proof they're doing right.
Yeah. They think that God's okay with what they're doing and where they're at.
Yeah. So you need to pray God just open up a big old cat and a butt kick on him and snap the snot out of him.
Do you think that the wife should kick him out? He's still at home. He's still living with her.
Oh, good Lord.
And I asked if they're still in the same house, and she said, yeah. If he's still seeing this girl, doesn't think he's done anything wrong, and you're taking care of him at home, I think it's time to kick him out. And mom and dad shouldn't give him the place to live.
Is this not exactly the opposite of everything I just said? You should be praying God open a can of butt kick on him, and what are they doing? They're harboring the fugitive.
No, he's living with the wife still.
She's harboring.
Yeah, the wife is,
the fugitive.
Yeah. Yep.
How dumb are these
women? That's what I'm saying. And mom and dad, don't give them the place to live.
And mom and dad, how dumb are you?
Well, because they worry it's going to be too hard for the kids. They worry that everybody's going to know. They worry he's going to run back to the other woman. They have all of these worries.
Oh, wait a minute. You're not making any sense. Is he committing adultery or not?
He had a 3-year affair.
Well, then how are they worrying he's going to run back to her? He's already doing a wild thing with her.
He'll choose her. That's what I'm telling you.
People are so dumb.
You
know. They need a big corporate swirly. And a goat.
Here's the goat.
Here's the goat.
Here's the goat, and there's the swirly.
Everything you hear it all the time,
everything
though.
I just said is true. About what the Bible says about opening up a can of butt kicking on somebody, jerk the slack out of him, the parable of the prodigal son, everything goes bad. He finally comes to himself. Bottom, men hitting bottom. You guys are doing the exact opposite. You are propping the boy up. You are harboring the fugitive, taking care of him. Oh, it's about the children. No, it's not. The truth is they don't want to get tough with him. That's the people will use all kinds of excuses. Oh, the women of God's... I was in my son's office the other day. This lady's in there, my life's sick. Everything you tell her to do, well, I can't.
They always have a reason why they can't.
I can't. Well, they want to harbor the fugitive. Mm-hmm. They don't have any backbone. Keep doing what you're doing, and it'll only get worse. You want my advice? That's my advice. Kick him out and pray God just kicks the snot out of him. And do not help him. Do not throw him a lifeline. Do nothing until he comes back and says, I was wrong. That's what you need to do. End of story. What else you got?
Okay. This one is about...
They're getting clearer than that.
No, I know.
They do the exact opposite.
I know.
Just, I know I sound so mean. They're just people. What are they thinking? I guess you got to cut them slack. I don't know.
I told you what they're thinking. They're worried.
I mean, to me it's
afraid.
Dumb. It's just dumb.
Yeah.
It's just dumb. Dum da dum dum, dum da dum dum dum.
In the case of the cheating husband.
The case of the cheating husband. let's pray for him.
I mean, because it's not
make
like
everything
he's...
good for him and feed him and clothe him and cover for him and surround him. Why doesn't he repent? Oh, gee, I don't know. Move on. I can't take any more.
Okay, she says,
I need Jack Daniels. I'm telling you, someday I'm going to be doing the show with a bottle of Jack right here.
Only if you share.
It's not. It's tea, people. Mm-hmm. Just relax. God, I just imagine if I keep doing this, I'll be 75 years old. The only way I'll be able to get through is that big old buck. All right, give it an inch. I just numb my brain mm-hmm. to handle the insanity. Mm-hmm. All right, what's next?
Okay, she says, my husband and I are longtime fans of yours, and I'm having an issue I need advice on. We have been married for 19 years. We have a very solid relationship up till now. Okay. A new family joined our church a couple of months ago. The mom is someone I knew from high school. She's a single mom, 5 kids, 4 are still at home. She was abused in her marriage in every way, very needy and all of that. My husband and I took to her family immediately, and we loved getting together. You know where this is going. Families grew closer. The problem I'm having is that she and my husband talk, text, and Facebook regularly, and he is constantly telling her she's a beautiful woman and I love you, sis. Her children love and constantly hang on my husband as well. I'm feeling left out of the conversations. I know my husband loves me, but I constantly have that nagging feeling that my Christian sister is being nice to me, only to get closer to my husband. He, of course, is oblivious.
That nagging feeling. I've got that nagging feeling. Okay, go ahead.
He's oblivious, as men tend to be.
He's oblivious.
He's oblivious to
it
all.
No.
That's what she says.
She is oblivious.
No.
She is dumb, da-dum, dumb. She's really dumb, da-dum, dumb, dumb. You don't put up with it, girl. Come on.
She's talked to him.
Where's the whiskey? I need more whiskey in here. God grief.
Tells her, you're just seeing things that aren't there.
I don't want to hear anymore. I can't take it.
No, you have to hear this. No, you have to hear this.
When your husband is basically dating another woman, talking to her, hanging at the house, spending all kinds of time, texting, ooh, I really love you. You don't tolerate that. You look him in the face and say, Bobby. They're all named Bob, by the way. Mm-hmm. Bob. Knock it off. Don't you, no more, buddy. You listen to me. You choose, me or her. Stop it. If I hear that you have been going over to her house, spending time with her, helping her, ministering to her,
mm-hmm.
ministering to her, right, with the laying on of hands.
Yeah, pretty soon you're going to lay on the hands.
Oh, that'll be
ministering, praying for her. I didn't mean to feel her up. I was laying on of hands there. You know? You say, no, you can't do this. Done. Stop it. And tell, how would you like advice about that much time with another guy? And they probably come, you may not care, but I do. Stop it. You keep this up. I'm telling you. I'm not going to tolerate this. And if he keeps it up, when he comes home one afternoon, you're gone. You're just gone. You pack up the kids. You go to a nice hotel. You put it on his credit card and have a great time. So you mean divorce? No, I mean just separate. It wouldn't take 24 hours. One night. I promise you, he comes home and you're not there. I guarantee you. I'll pay for the hotel.
Okay.
Tell this crazy lady I will pay for the hotel. All right? I'll take it out of Phil's salary.
Okay.
He's got more money he knows how to do it. I'll personally pay for the hotel. You go, find a nice place, someplace with, you know, indoor swimming and stuff for the kids and just have a nice... I promise you, when he comes home, he will freak. He will absolutely come unglued. He will go, where are you? I told you, I'm not putting up this anymore. You stop spending time with that woman. He will freak, and I promise you he'll stop. I promise you'll stop. The only reason these guys keep doing it, ladies, is because you let him do it.
You say it's our fault?
No, it's their fault, but you're the enabler. You're enablers. You enable bad behavior. If I was doing this, my wife would beat the snot out of me. I don't know what is with these women. They're awfully nice.
You missed the best line.
You got to really enjoy these women. Because these women are so loving kind, you can have girlfriends on the side, and they're cool with that.
Apparently.
That's what I call
kind.
A very supportive woman.
Y'all married the wrong women.
I know,
that's
I did. I should have married a woman.
You needed one like this.
I know, a woman that would have mm-hmm. been okay with me having girlfriends. Mm-hmm. Wow, wouldn't that be convenient?
Yeah. So this is the problem right here in the nutshell.
We got to take a break, but hurry up.
Please help me find a way to talk to my husband that won't make him angry at me and accuse me of being unloving towards others in need. Right there. That's it in a nutshell.
I can't take it. I can't.
She wants.
All right, stick to the break.
Okay.
We'll come back. I'll give you my rant on that right after this.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations.
When I was a young man, just the other day.
Just the other day.
I was brilliant. Seems like just the other day, doesn't it?
Now it seems like a long time ago to me. You're listening to the music of Jimmy Bratcher. Check out his music at jimmybratcher.com. One of my best friends in the world. Fabulous guy. jimmybratcher.com. Buy all his music. Okay. You're listening to the Mark Gunger Show, answering emails. This lady writes, well, first of all, the one family writes, our son has committed adultery. Mm-hmm. What should we do? They're harboring the fugitive. They don't want to do anything. They're all looking for some magic words, something to say, some magic prayer. This lady has a guy, husband, who's flirting with, inappropriately, another woman. Mm-hmm. And all these people, you guys who listen to the show, do you notice that people don't want to do anything? They want to say something, particularly women. They're looking, what can I say? If I had a dollar for every time a woman asks, what can I say to make him change? I would be set for life. Mm-hmm. I promise you. I'd have a big old honking G5 jet, and we'd do lunch today in Milan.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I need to do. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Milan for a little snack. What can I say to make a difference? I've said this many times. I know people really get frazzled by it because it sounds very, what's the word? Extreme or another word. I can't think of it.
Insensitive.
Inflammatory.
Oh, inflammatory.
Inflammatory.
Sounds inflammatory.
Can't imagine me being inflammatory.
Mm-mm.
But these women who are always looking, what can I say, is borderline witchcraft. Even though they're Christians. Do you know what witchcraft is? Witchcraft is finding some kind of spell that you can say to change the outcome in other people. Mm-hmm. That's what witchcraft is.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it interesting? So many Christian women, borderline witchcraft. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to confront them. They don't want to do the right thing. They want to find the right thing to say. When the Bible says you can affect the outcome of your husband without words.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Paul said, without words. They don't want without words. They want the right words, the right, you know.
Eye of newt and wing of bat. How dare you say that I am so fat? You know, for heaven's sakes,
there's nothing you can say. Men, do not respond if you've been listening to the beginning of the show. If you didn't, go back and listen to it again. Go online, check it out. Men do not respond to words. They respond to consequences. Now, they can respond to the word of God under the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You can speak the right word, but even then, it's consequences.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Paul said, when someone's acting really badly, if you need to, turn them over to Satan. Why? For consequences. The prodigal son. Why did he repent? Because of the consequences. What you guys do is you want words to do the consequences. You don't want consequences. You want to actually protect them from consequences. She's more worried that he'll be upset with her.
Mm-hmm. Well, they all want to know, how do I fix it and what do I say without causing a problem, without making someone angry?
No, because you can't. It's confrontation. Kick him out or go to a nice hotel and let him freak for a day. 24 hours. 24 hours, you could save your marriage. You could save your marriage in 24 hours. If she would do this, it would save her. I promise you, to jerk the slack out of him. But she won't do it. She won't do it. She's a wuss. And all these women are wusses, and they will complain for the next 20 years how terrible their husband is and how their hearts are broken. They'll eventually die on the inside emotionally. They'll divorce him anyway. And they'll lose their marriage. When in fact, they could save it if they would just bring the consequences.
Caution, the Mark Gunger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
Do you really know what I'm feeling?
I'm feeling very frustrated. This is the Mark Gunger Show. Listen to the music of Michael O'Brien. Check out his music, michaelo.org. The first half of the show, if you haven't been listening, you need to go back online and listen to the whole show. But we're trying to communicate to people. Because we live in such a wussed out culture today, that the only way to get what you want out of most men, consequences. But we got this family protecting the consequences from son number one. This other lady, she doesn't want to face the consequences of her husband acting inappropriately to this woman. Mm-hmm. She wants to know what to say. It's all borderline witchcraft as far as I'm concerned. I'm trying to find the right words. And I'm telling you, it's not words that bring change to most people. It's consequences. So what about the Word of God? Well, the Word of God with conviction can bring change in people's life. But even then, let me ask you a question. Let's rewind the whole deal. When the Word of God came to Pharaoh, did he let the people go?
Nope.
Why did he let him go?
Consequences.
When Israel was constantly having problems turning to idolatry, and the Word of God came to them, did they stop?
Nope.
Wasn't until they were taken into Babylonian captivity. You're talking some serious butt kicking they went through. And do you know from that day on, they never had a problem with idolatry again? All the hundreds of years after they couldn't get away from it, God finally had it. Big old butt kicking comes down. Boy, not a problem since. The prodigal son, was it the words of the father that brought him to repentance? No, it was consequences. When Paul wrote about the Christian who was having sex with either his mother or his stepmother, we don't know what the story was. Hopefully it was a stepmother. Whatever, it was gross anyway. Mm-hmm. Paul said, turn him over to Satan. So Satan would just make his life miserable. And then he repented. Was it because of the Word of God that came to him initially? No, it was because of consequences. But guys, the Bible is replete. Replete. How do you like that fancy word?
That's a nice word.
Replete.
Vocabulary king.
People, the word of the day, replete.
What was that show that used to have the word of the day?
Pee Wee Herman. I was going to say, the factor, he has his word of the day.
Word of the day, Pee Wee Herman.
Why? What's the significance? I don't know.
And when you said the word, everybody went, ah.
Everyone went crazy, yeah.
Why don't you take a picture? It'll last longer.
Anyway, he was very funny. So, he's a pervert, but he's very funny. Okay, funny pervert. Consequences, replete. The Bible is replete with consequences that got men's attention and brought repentance. What we have today, our pastors and family and Christians and stuff, they will do everything to avoid the consequences. We have mothers who have boys who are acting badly, 32-year-old boys still living at home with mom. That one nitwit mother who he was off screwing his girlfriend at night, and she'd call him in the morning to wake him up so he could come and eat breakfast that she fixed him so he'd get to work on time.
Can you imagine your mom doing that for you, Phil?
Nope. Dude, I'm telling you, people are crazy, doing everything they can to avoid consequences. And well, what can I say? There's nothing you can say. That's what they don't get. Consequences. The Bible's full of consequences. What did Jesus say? You go to a brother who's behaving badly, give him the word of God. If he repents, great. Strike two, strike three, what'd he do? Consequences.
It's funny, it's like women get the concept when it comes to love. You know, they don't want just words. They want actions.
Oh, that's so good.
That's good, Phil.
Then it comes time to get in his face, and it's just, well,
it's what's the right words?
Gotta say something.
Yeah, you're exactly right, because it doesn't fly for women if he just says he loves you. They want to be shown through the actions. That's brilliant, actually.
Like the great psalmist Extreme, with their song More Than Words.
Yeah.
You more got it, words. Genius.
Good grief. I don't know. I don't know what else to say. We'll say it till we're very, very old people.
Do you think it has something to do with this whole, oh, but you have to be loving, but you people have this warped, perverted sense of what loving is. And we've talked about it in terms of you can have an affair, you can be involved in same-sex fornication, regular fornication. It's all about the love.
Oh, yeah.
And like no consequences. With both of these situations, the gal with the unfaithful husband and this one with the Ho Chi Mama, they just want to be loving. I don't want to be unloving.
This is affecting the generations that are coming in this. Our country's falling apart because people now won't discipline their children.
Because it's unloving.
It's unloving. And that's where we're raising these hellions, these little demon-possessed snot balls that run around and turn into violent criminals and prostitutes and drug addicts and Because, we don't want to say anything bad. Don't want to have any discipline. Took the discipline out of schools. Look at our schools. It's a disaster. Man, when I went to school, they could haul off and slap you, slug you. My principal gave me a bloody nose.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I never got hit, but there was a lot of hitting going on when I was in school.
I'm telling you, bloody nose. Did I tell my parents?
No.
Oh, no.
No, no, no.
Because they'd have beat me harder than he did. Good grief. I'm not advocating people get bloody noses. Maybe I don't. Maybe I am. Some guys could use a good kick in the face. But now we take all that out and look at our culture. Our country is falling apart. The church is falling apart. Look at these guys. They act. They have girlfriends on the side. And they're still sitting at home. Just living at home with their wives while they have girlfriends and everything else on the side. And they think it's perfectly fine.
It has Why? To be loving.
Because they've been raised in a culture today where there are absolutely no consequences for anything. I should be able to do what I want, when I want, and absolutely no consequences whatsoever. And it's only going to get worse. That's one of the knocks, you know, without getting into politics, one of the knocks of socialism. They want to take away all the consequences. Mm-hmm. You know, like in South Africa, you can't fire somebody. You can come to work, diss me and do whatever. You have to have a major case against them before you can let them go. So it's all consequences. Just hide us from consequences. You don't have to work hard. You don't have to listen to your boss. You don't have to be respectful. You don't have to do anything. There's social cultures.
You can do whatever you want, how you want, when you want.
You can't do anything. It's just no consequence. And look what's happening. The world's falling apart. Look, I can't fix all that. And I can't even fix these crazy ladies. But I'm just going to tell you the truth. What he needs is consequences. I promise you, I have a girlfriend on the side. There's going to be consequences in my home. And my wife isn't going to be writing some nitwit pastor saying, what can I say to make a difference? All right, let's take a break, get a different email. This is making me crazy. Another break, and then we'll be back with more right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
Got to be an end to this rainbow. One day I know peace will come.
You're back on the Mark Unger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationship with Phil and Diane. Answering your emails.
Okay, moving on. She says, you addressed my question about my dating an MMOG boyfriend last year.
That's the same girl?
She asked you a question about the MMOG.
It was
boyfriend.
And I didn't know what it was. An MOG, she said. He was an MOG.
I don't think this is the original.
Oh, it's not
MOG.
The original.
No,
but I was talking. Okay.
No. But she was also dating an MMOG.
For those of you who don't know, this lady writes us, girl, I'm dating this guy. He's an MOG. And I thought, what is that? A man of God. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got their little things now. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's great. And when a real MOG and. But he looks at porn and masturbates, mm-hmm. and I think, he's not an MOG, he's an MMOG. Mm-hmm. He's a masturbating man of God, which makes him not a man of God in the first place. So we've been making fun of MMOGs ever since.
And the vernacular has stuck.
So this lady was dating an MMOG and dumped him.
Yes, she said, I did what Mark suggested and dumped his butt. I'm so glad I did. Thank you so much for being upfront and honest and scaring the caca out of me with your answer.
Good.
A year has passed and my ex still has not sought help for the porn problem, so...
It's not your job to fix him.
That's right.
Leave him alone.
Okay. So she's gotten over the hurt, moved on with her life, and is now currently dating, just struck up a friendship with another guy, I guess. All right. Because of my past hurt from my ex's porn addiction, I don't want to end up with someone who is addicted to porn. I refuse to go through it again. My question is, how do I ask this new guy if he struggles with porn this early on in our relationship? In my past relationship, I didn't ask till I was a year and a half in. I don't want things to get too serious with him. If I know that he has this problem with porn, do I ask at the beginning of the date, end of the date? I know it's going to be awkward no matter what, but I'd still like any tips you have on this.
But she's not really dating him.
She started being pursued by an old college acquaintance. Right now we're just getting to know each other, but it's obvious that he wants our friendship to lead to something more.
Okay. Well, at some point when that becomes clear, you just have a conversation. Listen, I was in a relationship with a guy. For a year and a half, it turns out he was a porn addict. So I know it's kind of uncomfortable, but I need to ask you, mm-hmm. are you into porn? and look them in the eye.
After dinner, before dessert?
After you order the big meal, that's for sure.
I would wait till the meal is done, and it's really expensive. But at some point, yeah. You know, it doesn't be dinner. I mean, at some point, if it looks like it's getting serious, you just need to have a conversation. All you girls, I'm telling you, the stories we have, we know personally.
Yes.
Of girls who married guys who were porn addicts, discovered it after their marriage, and it ripped their hearts out and destroyed their marriage. Ask them ahead of time.
And ask them face to face. Text them. Don't talk to them on the phone. Don't do it when you're driving in the car. You have to be eye to eye, face to face, and you ask the question so that then you see the reaction.
And then you judge the reaction. If it's a credible reaction when he says no, then great. If he freaks and stumbles and says no, he's lying. And then dump his butt. All right. That's all I got to say about that.
Okay, little theological question here for you.
Being the great theologian that I am.
Yeah, there's kind of two. It was odd. They came in sort of together, so we'll kind of lump them together for you. What are your beliefs on spouses in heaven? If we are not married in heaven, how will we pick up our kids when it's time for them to go to heaven? I was raised to believe that when we pass, our family that's in heaven comes to take us to heaven, but my husband doesn't believe that we will be married in heaven, that marriage doesn't exist. But how would we see our kids? They don't want to be our kids anymore. What are your beliefs? And we would appreciate hearing from you on this topic.
Who the heck is this? She's not a Christian?
I don't know that. They were just asking about marriage in heaven.
She must not be Christian.
She believes in heaven.
Yeah. Well, I guess that doesn't make any sense. I mean, do people not read the Bible? Read the Bible. Jesus was
the husband must, because he says it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. Jesus was very clear. Mm-hmm. There is no marriage in heaven. Jesus said it. Mm-hmm. End of story. Well, how are we going to pick up our kids?
How do you find the people?
It's not like you have to go pick up your kids in heaven. There's no bus. It's not like you got to get them somewhere. You're not responsible for them. It's what a strange question. That's really
odd. There is no marriage. Okay, so then the other question.
There's no marriage in heaven. Straight up. Yeah. There's no marriage in heaven. That's why it's called heaven.
Okay. Okay, so the other question that somebody else asked said, quotes the Bible, okay. In the resurrection there's no marriage nor given to marriage. Does that mean since Jesus has been resurrected, there is no marriage in heaven? Or if we die and get resurrected, there is no marriage in heaven? And does that mean we are just playing marriage here on earth, or is there something greater? Like, why, if there's no marriage in heaven, are we even doing it? Is it just in vain here on earth? What's the purpose of it on earth if there's no marriage in heaven? She wants to know.
Really odd question.
I know. I never think
there is no marriage in heaven.
Right.
And why are we doing it here? Yeah. Because we're not in heaven. This is complicated. There's lots of things we're going to have to do. Yeah. We have to clean laundry here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to clean laundry in heaven.
It's all in vain here.
Why is it in vain? Why are we doing this? Do you have to go to the toilet in heaven, you think?
I don't know. See, I would never even think that question.
Now, there's a theological question for you. Yeah. Do you got to go potty in heaven?
I don't know.
Because maybe you don't. In which case, why are we doing it now?
But do you get to eat in heaven?
Yes.
Oh, good, because then you probably have to potty. Unless your body's different when you're there.
Maybe it absorbs everything. I don't know.
There's nothing impure. It just all stays.
It seems wrong.
Our bodies would be more efficient.
Maybe. Just automatic. There's all sorts of things we do here.
There's all kinds of things you do that, why are we wasting our time?
Everything we do here. Because we're stuck here. Could fall into that category.
Very strange questions.
I know. Who thinks this way? I don't know.
If we're not going to be married in heaven, why are we bothering with it here? I don't know.
It's still biblical.
Huh?
Yeah, well, Paul urges not to
marry.
Paul said, yeah. I mean, maybe the Apostle Paul writing us.
No, I don't think so.
You never know. No, I mean, Paul said, yeah, spend all your time working for God. Don't get married. But if you can't control your urges, he says, get married.
Well, God came up with the institution of marriage, so apparently there's a reason for it.
God looked at man and went, whoa, it's not good for this guy to be by himself. Comes up with a woman. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. That's just odd. What an odd...
I can't say I've ever thought those things.
There's a million things that we're going to do, that we do here that we're not going to do up there.
Yeah.
So, anyway, to answer your question, no, there's no marriage in heaven. Secondly, no, we're not wasting our time with marriage here on earth. I hope that helps you. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Mark Gunger. Yeah, we've got an app for that. Download your free Mark Gunger app today.
Victory elude my plan. Disappointment, order my day.
We're back. Mark Gunger, Diane Briley, Phil Gunger discussing your emails.
Okay, lady writing in, I'm afraid you're going to chicken her, but listen anyway. A lady sent in an email asking what she should do for she lost her mojo, her, you know, libido and all of that. The answer you gave was that she should still have sex, that she doesn't have to feel like it in order to have sex. My question now is, do you have an answer on how to get back that longing and wanting to make love, or would I have to go to a doctor or ask someone else? Because the question I still have is, how do I get my mojo back when it's gone? Is there something I can do to find the answer? Because I don't quite think that one can compare making love, one of the most special and beautiful, the most sacred relationship between husband and wife that God gave his children, to house chores. I understand that sometimes you need to overcome yourself and have sex with your spouse, even though you don't feel like it, but that would be the exception, not the rule. Am I wrong about that? We should honor our spouse, since through him or her, we're supposed to experience God the closest and deepest way ever. So how can you compare lovemaking to everyday chores? Of course, I can experience God in everything I do, even picking my nose, but loving my spouse and the physical act at the same time is a spiritual thing and not the same as cleaning the toilet or washing the dishes. I told you. She says, it's more like raising and cultivating the most beautiful flower of all, true love.
True love.
So how on earth are you comparing it to chores and laundry?
True love.
Marriage, that blessed arrangement, that dream within a dream.
Okay. First of all, if you've lost your mojo, sorry for you. I would suggest, yeah, go talk to a doctor. Mm-hmm. I am not a doctor, though I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
I never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips.
You lost that love and feeling.
Yes, you did.
So go see a doctor, all right? Mm-hmm. Now, listen to me, okay? Listen. Take your head, stick in the toilet, flush. Wake up. Water splashing in your face. Wake up. I did not say sex was akin to cleaning the toilet. What I said is you do all kinds of things you don't want to do. You clean the toilet without wanting to do. Women think, gee, I really want to clean the toilet. I can't wait today to clean the toilet. This is exciting for me. No, they don't ask themselves those questions. Right. There's all kinds of things you do in your life that you don't want to do. Now, why, when it comes to sex, do you have to want to do it before you do it?
Because it's the most sacred, beautiful thing in everything that she said.
Cultivate it like a beautiful flower.
That's right.
How's that working for you, dear? You know, why are you writing me? She disagrees with me. She's the one her marriage stinks. I don't have a problem getting my mojo on. Mm-hmm. I got my mojo. Do. All I'm saying is, whether you have mojo or not, she has a responsibility. It's called a marital duty.
Yes.
To make love to your husband.
Not a lot of mojo with that sometimes.
Yeah. How can the Bible say anything about mojo there? It doesn't say anything about mojo.
Desire.
It just says, you need to do this. Now, I'm all for you having your mojo. If something's wrong with you physically, go to a doctor and say, hey, I ain't got no mojo.
I don't know where my mojo went.
Maybe they got something for you.
The fact of the matter is, we hear from a lot of women that after they hear you say this, they email back and tell us, I never thought of it before. Now I'm just having sex and I don't have to feel like it. And we have a much improved marriage and a great sex life. And we're having sex more and my husband's happy. We hear from a lot of women.
The truth is, a lot of women will tell you they don't feel like having sex until they're having sex.
Mm-hmm.
But when you got to believe that before all this, you have to have this big physical desire. Or this big emotional connection. Well, then you're going to be miserable, like you. Or you can think, hey, why don't I just do this? Because I'll bet you what she's doing, she feels fine. Mm-hmm. It's just they for some reason, they're looking for this big buzz up front. And because they don't have it, then they ignore their husband sexually and they help destroy their very own marriages, the very thing she wants to protect. I did not say it was the same as cleaning the toilet. Hope my wife doesn't feel that way.
And if she does, don't tell you.
And if she does, don't let me know. I don't want to know.
Here's the thought I had. She's real spiritual about this, but I wonder if she feels all this great mojo and desire every time she sits down and prays or reads the Bible. And you're getting really close to God during that. But you don't always feel that up front. The same way that you don't always feel with your husband. So what the heck?
I know, it's the same thing.
Same thing to me.
To say that I said sex is the same as cleaning the toilet is not true. And I hope you get your mojo back, because I have my mojo every day.
Wow! I feel good.
Come on.
I will not join in this dance.
Come on, everybody.
Not participating. Phil does not care about his father's mojo.
I will pass.
He's not participating.
Conscientious objector.
All right.
Conscientious objector.
That's interesting what people say I said. Make all kinds of stuff out of context.
I know. They hear what they want to hear.
You said such.
I didn't say that.
But we've heard that.
You said sex is the same as cleaning the toilet.
They get mad about that.
No, I didn't.
No.
There's some differences.
There's a few differences.
I don't usually use bleach when I'm having sex.
Oh, that'd be painful.
Ow, ow, ow!
But scrub brushes.
Please do not use bleach and scrub brushes while having sex.
The point is, there's all kinds of things in life we don't want to do. We just do them. But we live in a culture where everybody has to feel something first.
I know.
You gotta feel. Do you feel like working before you go to work? Most people don't feel like going to work. You just do it. You gotta do the right thing. Life is about doing the right thing. Making love to your husband is doing the right thing. I'm not saying it's the same as a toilet. But why everything else in your life you can do the right thing without feelings, but when it comes to lovemaking, you can't?
I can't do it because I don't feel like it. Ugh, bites to be you. All right, see ya.
Bye, bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.